So I want to talk today a bit about covenantal relationships. You can substitute the title if you want to and say godly relationships, amazing friendships, friendships with a purpose, relationship that rocks, I don't know, friends. you can shape the title as you please. I want to talk a bit about relationships, and if we do it in that way, it really sets us up to change the environment we find ourselves in. Without this, it's very hard to be a shining light for God. Let me just head on. John 17 verse 11, this is Jesus speaking, and he's saying, he's actually praying at this moment to the Father. He's saying, I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, speaking about his disciples. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. And there's the important part, that they may be one, even as we are one. Very striking. But then the interesting thing is, if we go to the next slide, exactly 10 verses later, he repeats his thoughts. He says, that they all may be one. Says this again, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may see, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Father, I ask that they will be one, that the world may see something. Now, in the middle of those two verses, it's interesting, there's that dialogue Jesus has with the Father, and he says, Father, the world will be harsh to them, to those who love Christ, but please don't take them out of the world. I just pray that you protect them from the evil one. You know, that kind of tension. So, Christ knows, you walk into your workplace, and you're praying for someone, and you actually love that person, but that person doesn't share the same sentiment towards you. They don't have any love for you. They don't want to accept affection from you. They're too proud for that. But there's that tension. And so, we are in this world. We want to love them, but they, in a way, hate us. Hate is a strong word, but let's use it. We serve people who are too proud to be served. That's the place where we're in. We are on our knees for people who have no affection for us. And Christ knows this. And so, how do you turn hearts like that? That's the question. Lord, where do we start? Where do we start reaching this place? How do we reach out? How do we get this people to meet you who we love so much that have no affection for us? And Christ starts here, let them be one so that the world may see what it means to be one. And so here's the thing. You guys are an amazing bunch of people. I had some awesome chops last night. It was great. Thank you, Kenny, for the mash. It was great as well. But you know what? You know, when we find ourselves in a place of isolation, we are in sin. If the world is not able to look at what we have, we are missing the mark. We are missing the point of this. Because a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And a lamb that is not placed on a place where it can expose or expel its light, what's the purpose? We should actually live strategic in such a way that people can have access to our lives. Because if they see it, they will know that God has sent Jesus. What a weird relation. When they see how we are one, they know God sent Christ. This is just as an introduction, I just want to start something in your thoughts. How are we doing friendships? Alright? Are we allowing people to look in? If not, we need to start thinking. We need to start thinking about our friendships. Where does it happen? What do we do? Where do we go? Alright? How do we become visible? Now, I've got three ideas for today. I'm not going to be long, and I want you guys to play with it and take it further. covenant relationship. Now, what's our best example of a covenant relationship in the Bible? Well, there's a few, but David and Jonathan is probably the best, okay? Now, we know, who knows like the covenant ritual that guys would go through to be in covenant? That's a weird thing. You'd like cut yourself. Very unsafe in this country. Don't do it. Okay, so people will cut themselves and they will mix the blood. All right? Like your blood is my blood and your life is my life. And then they'll take like ashes and rub it on and make this massive mark. And they'll change clothes and weapons and stuff, all other delicacies and jewelry. And then when you walk into a bar, all right, and the guys are eyeballing you, they want to take you out, and you show this thing, they're like, ooh, this guy's not alone here. He's representing someone else. Because you see, if you touch Bates, then you touch me. So Bates is very strong and muscular. He's also married, sorry. So when I walk into this bar, I know I'm safe, okay? Now, if you want to, you can change the term to Christ-like relationship. I'm okay with that. I don't want you guys to go cutting yourself. I'm talking about a type of relationship that displays heaven's life, okay? So don't take me literal today. Okay, so can I have two guys in front, please? Don and Bates. Come, Bates, I can nog 'n bietjie help hier so hier. Of to my is Mons. Yeah. Okay, Bates, come here. Okay, so I want to explain to you just the idea, the main thing in terms of positioning how a godly relationship differs from just a relationship in the world. So if I can just show it this way, can you guys just put your hands on one another's shoulder? So let's say this is how a relationship in the world looks. Yeah, it's you guys are quite connected to one another, and this also represents an emotional connection, because mostly what this friendship needs, I need to be validated as a human being. And so I look for friends. You know, I want to feel like someone. Isn't that true? That's not a bad thing, okay? For me, it's part of the God-shaped whole. We'll just see now how it works, how it fits in when Christ is here. But the problem with this is the main purpose of Don and Bates' life is to build Bates up in who he is as a person. He needs that building up. Now, at this stage, I'm assuming there's no Christ in their lives. Just taking a relationship out there. Okay. Because this is actually something that Christ wants to do for us. Are you with me? He wants to come into my life and he wants to tell me who I am, so that I can make a peace with who I am and enjoy who he's made me to be. By the grace of God, I am what I am. But now, I'm just taking a few steps back. I haven't met Christ. And the weird thing is often we do relationships like this when we know Christ. So I want you to draw a few lines in your life and walk out of here with something. But now, if Bates needs Don to affirm the innermost part of his identity, it is very difficult for Don to give Bates feedback that he does not want to hear. Okay? This relationship is set up well on the side of making jokes, having a great time, but it's not set up well for honesty. It's not set up well for growth. Because, for example, let's say Bates goes to Don and says, listen, there's a way in which you speak to people, and even if it's coming with a good heart, there's a way in which you speak to people, and it's harsh. It comes over the wrong way, and you should really just go and figure out how you speak to people. This might be the last conversation they have as friends in this world. And I'm not trying to be funny. With girls, this thing runs rampant. Okay, the friendship, it glows and it grows up to one moment. And it's gone. You know what I'm talking about? Can you be honest about that? Okay, now. Can I get another person here? Come, Duncan. Come help you. Duncan, you are Jesus. Now, the thing what happens here is the moment we know what Christ wants to do in our lives, he gives us actually the ability, just join up again, to break what we have here, to make a space between one another. Now, at first, this seems, you can come in. Now, this seems as if they're further away, but let me explain to you how this differs. You can connect with Jesus. Okay. Whose job is it to validate Bates? His Lord. Loves him in his dirt, in his mess, and raises him up in the sand. Don't. But now, as we're growing in Christ, and we have this friendship, for Bates, he worships Jesus, and he's got a responsibility to be a friend to Don, not the other way around. So who will he rather please? Rather please Christ. And so when there's a place where difficult conversations need to be had and honesty needs to come, he would rather honor Christ than Don. Which at this moment places this relationship on a whole new level. Also, if these guys are growing and you model it as church and as leaders and talk about it, Don comes to a place where he says, Bates, from where I am standing in my life and my heart's desires and stuff I want to do, just come away from the monitor, it's difficult for me to have a very healthy perception of how I am walking. You may speak with me into my life. If God speaks to you, if Christ speaks to you about something in my life, here's an opportunity for you. Here's a platform. Speak into my life. Be a friend to me. Now it's going to be hard, but my main purpose now is to walk in the way Christ has purposed me to walk. I need help for that. Will you be honest with me? Will you be that kind of friend? Can you see how it changed? I'm not asking myself, Father, what does Don, what does he want to hear right now? I'm asking myself, Father, what does my good friend need to grow closer to you at this time? This, a relationship like this saves marriages. Relationships like this prepares young men for marriage, young women. You guys can have a seat. Thanks. Thanks, Jesus, for being here this morning. Does that make sense? Check this scripture out, Proverbs 27, one of my favorite the last few months. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You may talk with me. Be a watchman in my life. Watch over my journey, watch over my life. You may talk with me. I want to say this, the silence of a friend may hurt you. Though the words he brings, the truth may be for a moment a wound, it will keep you safe. So this is a good thing to say to your friends, those who are with you in a small group and you guys are walking a road and maybe God is showing you someone to approach. This is a good thing to say to him. I want you to honor Jesus more in this relationship than what you honor me. That's the best way you can honor me. And I pray that I will have the wisdom to be that kind of friend to you as well. Awesome. Now there's a love and there's a care in friendships like that that's out of this world. It's unseen. It's no wonder Christ say, when they see, they will know you have sent me. It's unheard of. We don't have relationships like this in this world. It happens naturally. It doesn't happen naturally. It happens with work, with faith, with prayer, with sharing, and crying, and worshiping God together. Amen? Number one, covenant relationship are cross-centered. The cross defines the position of the two parties. The cross determined the priorities of the relationship. And this is amazing. Awesome. I'm going at a speed. Number two, covenant relationships or godly relationships or amazing friendships, whatever you want to call it, friends, sees with prophetic eyes. sees with prophetic eyes. What do I mean by that? 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, it says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. There's your balance. Christ is in the middle, and I'm willing to be very honest with you, but the premise of this relationship, I'm actually building you. Can you see how it fits together with number one? Now check this out. Do you think I need prophecy? That's a question. Do I need prophecy? Why? I need to be built up. Because I'm the pastor here. I need to be built up. Why? Because I'm a broken man. It's easy as that. I stay broken until Christ comes for me. Done. So, the premise of this is a relationship that's built on humility. I need to be built up in my life. But I want to be built up in Christ. I don't want you to say nice things. I don't want you to in the flesh, tell me good things about me. Build me up so I can grow as a man, as a husband, as a father, as someone who works for Sasol, wherever you guys work. Build me up. So this is one of the best testimonies I've heard in the last long time, because it stuck with me. There's this girl in a Bible school in America, and she keeps on recording. Some of you might have heard this. She records every prophecy that is prayed over her fellow classmates, but she's vicious about it. She won't miss one. And she keeps record of it, and she prays for the people. And they ask her one day in class, "So why do you record everyone else's prophecies? I mean, it's good enough effort to keep up with your own, all right?" And so this is what she answered. She said, "So that I treat people or them not as they are, but as God sees them, and then I invite them into their destiny. I look at you and I see what you can be, and I am committed to build you to that place. You are a mess right now. Let's be honest. But where is your destiny? It's out of this world. The world cannot look with eyes like this. They can only see what is now." And that's what makes believers different. That's why people come in here and find hope. Because when you look at them, you see what they can be. That is looking prophetic. God does that. That's what He does. And here's our first example. Well, first, let me just say this. This happened in my life. This is a testimony of my life. I did nothing. I got off the bus in my first year camp. Now, God knows what's good for me and the campus of Stellenbosch, because I got saved just before I went to university. And I got baptized the day before I got on the bus. Saved my life. And I got off the bus at the first year's camp. And when I got off the bus, a leader in Shofar spoke to someone else that was involved with the raises. And I wasn't raised with Matthijs and Duncan. And when I got off, this person said, "That guy's going to be the prim of Ace Marais." First time he sees me. Never spoken a word to me. And another person was hearing it and got into a relationship with me and built me up. Someone saw into my life, changed the course of my life forever, brought people into my life to support me, prayed for me, sat with me while I spoke a lot of nonsense, just built me up because they saw something. If you know God today, it's because someone saw something in you. But you're not at your destination. So you need relationships where Christ is in the middle, so you can say, "Listen, I can't see very clearly from where I'm standing. Build me up. Build me up." Make sense? So, who served the Lord while there were students in Stellies? Some of us here. And remember, we had the accountability groups, or accountability partner. What did we often talk about? Did you smoke? Did you drink? Did you look at porn? Did you go to Springboks? Okay. So like, like we spoke about sin, and there's a place for that. But what if accountability was something more than that? What if it was, I see where you are going, I will not let you fail. I see what God has placed in you, and you will not come one step short. Help me to take an account for my abilities. If I can be something for Christ, in the name of God, I want to be that. I don't want to be anything less. Now come beside me. So, there's my journey. Is there sin to talk about? Yes, it's not the headlines. It's not where I'm going. It's on the road. Let's get this out of the way. Let's deal with it. But this is not why we have this relationship to talk about sin. We cannot allow sin to take the headlines of our relationships. The headlines is you have something amazing in you that God is doing through you. This sin is not who you are. Let's get this out of the way so you can go. Now, if someone sees prophetically in you, if they see in you, and you know it, when they start celebrating you, they talk to you like you're something special. You're like, what is this person seeing in me? Who's experienced that before? You know often where it happens? It often happens when a guy meets the girl he's going to marry. I want to talk about relationships so much. But often that girl sees. And this guy, he is almost, he's just next to Christ. And that's a God thing, because God is showing her who he is. Okay, but God wants to do that with our relationships as well. Guys, girls, girls. Okay? Now, if someone buys into you to that extent, you're not scared to share your sin to them. Because you know they will back you and that they will help you. And often when you don't want to be honest to someone, it's because you don't trust them with this dirty part of your life. But if they see the beauty in you, you also show them the dirt. That's how it works. This is God speaking. God speaks to Abraham. He doesn't have one child. Okay, he's old and his wife's, the mechanical parts is not working well anymore. And God speaks to him and he says, I've made you the father of many nations. But that's the wrong guy, God. Maybe the tent next door, they've got kids. We don't have. So God says, no, you're a father. Because he looks at him and he sees who he will become. He calls it out. Father. So Bates here, he's an engineer, but he's going to be a full-time pastor. That's where he's going. So I look at him that way. He preaches at our church. And now you guys also are raising up amazing guys. You've got a lot of awesome guys here. But when I look at Bates, I see a pastor. It's not there yet. At the moment, but God looks at Abraham and he sees a father. And so, if you can position yourself in friendships with someone, look into your heart and see where you're going, you are positioned at a good place. You're going to hear some truth. It might be difficult to digest, but you're going to want it. Help me where I'm going. Because you see, you went past from, I want to just survive this day. Just be okay with everyone. I just want to be, have an okay day, make a Facebook post. YOLO, today was awesome. LOL. Go to bed. No. You've come to a place where you say, I want to actually become who I can be. And so these kind of relationship becomes very important. Covenant relationships are authentic. That's the third point. It's authentic. It's real. It's honest. It's you can show you are. Why? Why is this possible? Because as you step into a God-like relationship, you realize it's okay for me to be weak. it's okay for me to show my vulnerabilities because I'm protected in this relationship. I can be who I really am. This is very important. Let's check the next scripture. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Why does love cover sin? Love does not ignore sin, but love and covenant-like relationship treats sin under the heading of this person is going somewhere. So sin finds its place as something to be dealt with and getting out of the way. All right? And so when love looks at a person, it covers sin, deals with it, gets it out of the way. So sin never gets the headlines as it often gets. So it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to bring it up. And so this is where that weird thing happens. So the person that irritates everyone in small group becomes the best small group leader. It's always that way. The guy who just messes up every time he takes the mic becomes the best pastor. Someone sees what is in him and endures with him. He's never shoved to the side. He's worked with. This is a hard part. There's actually a church that does this very well. Who of you have heard of Josh Jen? Who of you have been in Josh Jen? Anyone be a member here? Amazing church. So they say, well, that's what scripture says, love one another until each one, or speak the truth in love until each one has found his place. So this is what they will do. They'd say, okay, you preaching today, after the sermon, a bunch of leaders comes together. So score yourself out of 10. That's it. The guy would say, 7. And then the guys will talk, all right, in the circle, 4, 3, 4. The pastoral guy will say, 6.5. And then they'll say, and then they'd say, listen, we love you. Preaching is not your thing. But when you lead worship, things happen. We don't think you should preach. That's friends with Christ in the middle. That is the hardest thing that guy can hear right there. But someone loves him enough to see where he should be growing. That seems harsh, but that's love. That's what it is. So they're helping the guy actually growing in the calling. Sometimes we need friends like this. You should not sing in front of people with a microphone ever again, okay? Okay? That happens, okay? So we say everyone in our church can be in the worship team. There's just a difference. You can either sing on stage or just when the service must start, you can sing on the outside so that the people can run in. But so there's a place for all of us. Who sings like that? Okay. Listen, by the grace of God, you are what you are. That's just the truth. There is stuff you will excel in, and there's stuff you will suck in. Don't focus on what you suck at. Okay? He made you. You are His workmanship. He planned you, and then He built you so that you can mean something for Him. If you have friends that love you, they will help you get on the right seat of the bus. Okay? It's just how it works. And it's amazing when you find your place. Because you know how this world works? With Hollywood and all their junk magazines, it's constantly motivating you to dream about becoming someone else. To spend money towards becoming someone else. To lay awake at night and worry because you're not like this person. It is junk. What if you come into a relationship and people help you to a place where you can just be who you are? Flat out. That is freedom. And that's actually what the Holy Spirit does. Cleanses us, pushes us, bends us, but where His Spirit is, there's freedom. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. And don't stop until you find the place where you can stand. Amen? Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and it's working. Why is this so amazing? Why am I bringing confession into this? Firstly, you're not supposed to just confess your sin to someone at the Checkers, okay? You have a friendship, you have a small group, there's people that loves you, and you use that platform. But you know what happens? The moment you are honest, the moment you put on the table what's really in your heart, you invite the presence of God to manifest itself in what way? Healing. So, we have a need to heal ourselves, so we do one or two things. We either try and change ourselves, put on a mask, or we deal with it and we get healing. Now, this is point number three for a reason, because this will not happen if number one and two is not in place. If you're not standing in a relationship where Christ is in the middle and you practice with basic stuff first, number two, know that person looks prophetically into your life, this won't happen. But if you've gained that trust, you come to that place where you actually grow rapidly. And you find yourself in such a safe place, you will share anything with someone you trust. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. James, it's a weird... Yeah, that's actually how they put it, well, they say it. Yeah. It's weird. I also think about it. I'll write them a letter. I thought it must be J-A-M, but it's not. Or Esau, put it like that. Okay, last slide, guys. Let's wrap up. People will say this in the world. They'd say, I'd serve a God who will love me and take care, and take me as I am and care for me. Mostly people will echo that. If that is true about God, I'll serve Him. But there's only one way they'll come in contact. And that's through us. Because God has delegated that responsibility to us. To be intercessors, to be in the middle of God and man. So I'm asking, firstly, are we healthy in our relationships? Let's work with that, okay? It's built. Number two, are we positioned well to be seen? Most people I know that come to God, they come to some other event, and we take it to them, we take it to the rugby field. We've got about, at one stage we had 10 guys in our church in the first team. So we just take it to the fields, and they just, you guys talk to one another in a different way. My wife talks to me in that loving way, and you guys are men, and it doesn't, you know. But guys get attracted to that. You know, and then some of our guys that loves the Lord will go to a random guy because you see what's going on in the rugby field. You know, this guy's so insecure, he messed up today. And some guy at church will go to him and say, you know what? You are such a great leader. I see such amazing gifts in you. Just something like that. Just drop there. And then he goes on. That's all that's needed. Someone sees prophetically. Someone will go to another person and say, just thanks for covering me today. I messed up, but you were there. I just appreciate that. Just small little things that you can do at work, at school, where you play.